Welcome to the third episode of Alok and Vinay's podcasts. Today we're going to be talking about India. Recently we've been doing a lot of India-related projects, planning related to building a school and building infrastructure for a science fair in different schools in the state of Gujarat. So we're actually trying to focus on a school in Vidyanagar. So you can tell them a little bit more about that.
Yeah, me and Vinay and Vivek, us three came together. An interesting story about us three is that we all went to India and studied there for multiple years. I actually went there for 2.5 years.
Yeah, and me and Vivek, we both went to a boarding school for about 6 months until we were so sick of it that we left. First of all, it was too easy. Second of all, the food, they were starving us over there. They were giving us 2 biscuits for breakfast and a huge glass of milk that nobody wanted to drink. It was just, it was terrible. We were starving. But yeah, we really were.
I had a different experience. I didn't go to boarding school. I went to a small school in the city, not in the village. So it was pretty different. But in my experience, the only thing that I felt that was bad is the entire school experience sucked.
Really?
Yeah. And India's entire education system is completely flawed. Especially after coming here and learning about the different ways that the ways we learn, the ways we need to, you know, raise the next generation of students to fit better into the economy. It's kind of just is terrible on how they're brought up. You can talk more about this, about the rote memorization.
Yeah. So in the reason India's system is so out of date is because it really didn't adapt from the time that the British imperialists came into India a couple hundred years ago. And when they came, they established a system of schooling to create accountants and clerks, basically people who would manage their books and all the money. So that's really all that the British wanted out of the Indians. That, and they wanted educated coolies so they could carry their baggage.
So wait, what's a coolie?
A coolie is somebody who carries your bags on a train. So when you're there was a big train network in India, and they wanted people to carry the bags for them. So they literally put them in school so they could carry their bags.
That's too smart.
I wouldn't say that's too smart, but the British definitely did use the Indians to their advantage. Yeah. And the other thing was accountants, so they needed people to manage their finances. So they put them in school so they could memorize a lot of things. And unfortunately, because you need to memorize a lot of different accounting equations and formulas so you can accurately manage money. And that's what they went to school for. What they did was they went to school, they memorized an immense amount of facts, and then they would just perform their jobs as accountants. And this system really hasn't evolved several hundred years later, but the demands of the market have drastically changed. So right now we're looking at a world economy that really is focusing on technology, expanding creativity, and applying it towards enabling almost every single person in the world to basically collaborate in building creative ideas and pursuing science, technology, and advancing
STEM.
Advancing STEM, basically.
But STEAM.
Unfortunately, do they call it A for agriculture? Right? What is A?
A for art.
Art?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the artists call it, I
guess. Agriculture?
Yeah, but so India is kind of outdated in that sense. And what we really need to focus on is moving away from rote learning and moving towards creative problem-based, problem-solving-based learning. So we need to focus on tackling issues that affect people, like dirty water and lack of access to the internet, and finding exactly how can we create infrastructure that's cheap, that people can afford, and that can really empower people so they can participate in this really amazing creative process that's happening because of the connection that is created by people when the internet came into existence a couple of years ago. So India really isn't able to fully participate in that just because of our education system that's so out of date. So it's a real issue right now.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I mean, that's an issue for America too. If you think about it, we haven't exactly tackled this problem either. Pretty soon, sure, American schools are better than Indian schools, but you know, we're still going to need the same amount of change that's going to come in order for us in the next coming decades to, you know, build the next generation of students. So what exactly, I know we had two different experiences from Indian schools. What exactly was your experience like in your boarding school?
Yeah, so when I went to school in India, my dad, I remember I was in America, I was in first grade, and my dad told me, Vinay, you're going to go to boarding school. And I had no idea what that meant. I actually thought for a couple of weeks that I would be going to like this skateboarding school where people would teach me how to skateboard. And I'd be on like ramps just learning skills. And I'm like, all right, that sounds pretty cool. And he said it was in India. And I was like, okay, I've never been there before. This is going to be an adventurous experience for me. But when I really ended up finding what boarding school was, I had no idea that I would have to live away from all of my family except with just me and my brother. And we would live there. And we would get, like, we finally arrived in India. It was all right. I didn't necessarily hate it. But when I went to school, it was definitely an interesting experience because everybody there, like, when we were learning, they were really, really behind in terms of like language arts and science and engineering and just things like that. Even in second grade, you could notice that people just didn't know basic things that they should have. Like in second grade, we were still focusing on identifying body parts and things like that. Like we had to like, I remember I would secretly set up my folder so I could work on worksheets like in the future. Like we had these little workbooks and I would try to finish everything as possible. And the students around me would rat me out to the teacher every single time because I was working ahead and I was so bored in class. And the problem was that like I was obviously smarter than these guys. So like I would try to work ahead and finish as fast as I could because I needed to entertain myself and I wouldn't just sit there and be bored, right? While the teacher's going on off of basic things that people already know. Like, so I didn't want to waste my time. And they would rat me out just because I was going a little bit ahead. And it's just the fact that people can't learn at their own pace. It really did annoy me. So I went and I talked to my dad. And another thing that can be easily fixed, but it was the availability of food and the quality of food that they had over there. It was absolutely terrible. And the quality of the restrooms, but you know, that's another thing. They were like insects and things like that. And they would threaten. Terrible. They would threaten, like if you didn't behave, they would like lock you up in the bathrooms at night. And they actually did that to some students who were bad. Like there were cockroaches and bugs and things like that. And they would say like, if you don't behave, and you had to be a pretty bad kid to like get locked up, but like they would make you sleep in the cold bathrooms with bugs and these really big bugs. But going back to education and how terribly unadapted it is towards the demands of the market, when I was over there, I really realized that I had to do a lot of memorization. So like when I switched out from my boarding school to a public school, or actually a private school that I went to closer to my hometown in Gujarat, which is a state in India, I liked it a little bit more. But I had even worse rote learning over there. And rote learning is basically where you're memorizing large amounts of facts and you're basically cramming stuff into your head. And a lot of the stuff that you're cramming is unfortunately useless information. So I would have to like write out questions and I'd have to write out answers for questions like, like what type of smell does rubber create when it's burned? And I have to answer it, and I'd have to answer it exactly how the teacher wanted me to. And I'd literally have to memorize word for word, and it was absolutely ridiculous. And I'd have to repeat it 10 times, and the homework was crazy. They had huge amounts of homework, and it was all just like repeating, repeating, repeating. I was literally learning nothing new. And they thought like if we drill you enough then on these facts, maybe it'll sink into your head, and maybe you'll be a better contributor to society. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. So what it ended up happening is a lot of students just didn't do their homework because it was a ridiculous expectation. So they just line them up at the beginning of class. They'd say, all right, hattaro, which means put out your hands, and they take a ruler and they'd smack everybody. So
just everyone.
Yeah, just basically almost everyone. And you know, there are some days where, you know, I had the guts to not do my homework, but you know, a lot of people were scared into doing it because they hit you pretty hard. But yeah, so I mean, another topic for another day is whether violence actually reinforces the behaviors you're trying to implement in people, which I have a very strong opinion on. But obviously,
well, I didn't know that.
Yes. So yeah, but the thing is, with their education system, it never taught me how to think creatively. It just taught me how to memorize. And when they asked me on tests, like, like, the, for example, the question that they told me to write down, which was, what type of smell does rubber emit when it's burned? If I didn't answer it word for word, I would basically fail the test. And that's really terrible, because in the real world, like, there is no definite answer. You know, the question changes, and the answers change with it. So, you know, India really isn't built for a system that allows for change. And, you know, change is the main thing that happens in the world. And if you're not able to adapt to it, then your economy is going to fail along with your education system. So That's basically what I experienced over there. I mean, it was a blast. I loved India. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite countries, probably my most favorite country. And I just think that we had a lot of fun, but most of those fun experiences were when I was thankfully out of school, just playing on the streets, you know, playing cricket and going on adventures with my relatives, things like that. But, you know, the education system, it's a real work of art. It needs a lot of improvement.
Yeah.
So you could share how you lived in the city that I went to boarding school in. Mm-hmm. So I have a natural resentment towards that city and everybody from it. Yeah, Baroda, that's what it's called. So how was your school
there? Actually, I don't think you know this, but your school was actually in walking distance from mine.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was like a 2-minute walk from my school.
Dang.
Yeah. Wow. That area actually had 3 to 4 schools in a very like tightly dense area. I think your school was one of the ones
right there. Man, I remember I used to like look out the window and just like hope like somebody would come and rescue me from
there. Yeah, I had many of those days. So, I mean, a lot of the things that you did in your school, that's basically what we did in ours. Mm-hmm. I'll actually take it from the beginning. Is I went, I don't, this might be different from you, but I went a month into the school year in India, because I finished school here and waited for a little bit and then went over there. Mm-hmm. And you know they start school very early, so I was already a month behind when I went there.
Yeah.
And so what that meant was I had to catch up for that 1 month. And so in about a week's time, I had about 4 or 5 subjects that I had to do, and I had to catch up for the entire month on all 5 of them.
Oh, okay. Dang.
And if you think about what we did in school, which is all we do is the teacher would write questions such as, you know, what was the question that you asked? It was, how does this tire burn, right?
Yeah. Like what type of smell is emitted when rubber burns?
And then for every class, the teacher would write questions and she would write answers, you know, 3 to 5 sentences for each answer. And that's what we would do for the entire hour, the entire school. And so I had to do that. I had to catch up for a month of that.
Oh my God.
So what I had to do for that week, 1 week, is I think I worked 8 to 9 hours a day for that 1 week.
Holy crap.
And all I would do is the teacher would give me like the smartest student's notebook for every subject, and she would make me copy it. Because obviously I would need the notes, right, for that entire month.
Yeah.
So all that's what I did for the entire week.
You just copied.
I just copied and copied and copied. I would wake up really early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I would start copying, and by the night, I would not even be done, and I'd have to move on to something else, to the next subject.
It's terrible.
Right? And in that time in India, in my school, we were required to take 2 languages. So in those five classes, we would take Hindi, which is the national language, and then Gujarati, which is the state that we speak, right?
Yeah.
So I had no knowledge of any of those 2 languages before I came. Mm-hmm. So in that 1 week, I had to learn how to read and write in both of those
languages. Oh my God.
So aside from copying the notebooks for the entire month, I had to learn the alphabet of both these languages and how to read and how to write. You know, it's not in high level, not on a high level, obviously, but still I had to go through that in that entire week. When it was over, I think that was the hardest that I've worked. And keep in mind, I was about like 9 or 10 when I wasn't like now, right?
That's incredible.
I probably couldn't even do it now. Mm-hmm. But that's how, and then by the end of that week, I was studying so much and I wasn't doing anything except for sitting down and just writing and reading that I got super sick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And during that first week, I had to go to the hospital. And then after that,
I had no idea.
Pretty bad. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I don't even think I told you about this.
Yeah, I did not know. You had to go to the hospital? Really? Yeah,
I got so sick from just sitting there and doing nothing.
The stress of all the work that you had to do.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I don't think I felt any stress. It was just, I mean, I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot of work.
Just too much pressure. Yeah, just your body was exhausted.
Yeah, and then I was actually living with 2 of my cousins who were, I think, 2 and 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And they would just be looking at me like, dang, like, how is this guy, like, doing this? Right?
Wow. Did anything actually seep in from all of the memorization?
No, actually nothing.
Really?
Yeah, so for every class, it was something different. So for English class, we would memorize poems. And mm-hmm. these poems, you'd have to memorize word for word. And on the test, there would be a poem. And there would be blanks cut out. It was like a fill in the blank. And in those blanks, you had to write down the word.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'd be two to three lines that'd be cut from the poem that you had to fill in. Mm-hmm. In math class, I think math class was pretty similar to what we have here. Because there's not a lot of rote memorization you can do there. So it's just typical, you know, formulas and... but one thing that I will say is math class there is so much harder than math class
here. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But when like we were learning, you know, I mean, obviously I was 9 or 9 and 10 mm-hmm. when I went there. So it wasn't high level math, but what we were learning was really complex, like math, like multiplication tables, right? We had to memorize tables up to 30.
Yeah.
Right. And wow. like this had to be purely memorized.
Wow,
right.
Only yeah, over here we only do up to 12.
Up to 12, right. Yeah, exactly. It's up to 12 and 30. And so the way that she would test us is on test day, she would call random people. Mm-hmm. And she would say something like 17 times 15, what is it?
Yeah, right? Damn.
And then you'd have to come up with the answer quickly, like just like that. And I had it. Like I had my multiplication tables memorized up to 30. I don't know anything up to like 15 now, but
yeah. So you basically forgot.
Yeah,
and forgot you did everything. All that work.
Yeah, because guess what? We have calculators now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't need to study about that. So that was math class. And then science, actually India was weird where we had it, where science and social studies were combined into the one subject. Now it's called environment.
Yeah, no, that was the same thing that we had. Yeah, environmental science.
They combined the two.
That's when they asked me this question of, like, the burning rubber and, like, ecosystems and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, and it was basically the same thing. So one question I remember is we were talking about plant sciences. Mm-hmm. And so the entire, you know, chapter would talk about stuff, and all the teacher would do, she would barely say a word the entire class. She would just write stuff like, you know, what is photosynthesis? Mm-hmm. And then she would go on, write a 3 to 5 sentence a paragraph essay or whatever she needed to do, and you basically would memorize that thing word for word just like you did.
Yeah.
And you would go home, you would write it, you know, a couple of times so you kind of got it, and then you'd memorize it, and you'd get someone in your family to quiz you on it, and that was basically it. That was all you did for every single class. Mm-hmm. It's just memorization and memorization.
Yeah, that's true. There's really nothing solid that you took out of it. Like, you spent a lot of time, and I remember all the little calluses that I get from this writing, a lot of them I still have. Like, I have this huge bump on my pinky just from, like, all the writing that I did. And I was my English teacher's favorite student because I had a tremendous advantage. Obviously, I knew English very well by the time I went there. So better than the students because they didn't know English, even though it was an English medium school. And an important thing to know in this whole conversation is that I think we both went to English medium schools. Did you go to English medium?
Yeah,
but, like... There's two types of schools in Gujarat, India. One is Gujarati medium, where you basically learn everything, and you learn a little bit of English, but you learn mainly more Gujarati. And those students will, like, they're not as wealthy as the English medium students. They plan on staying in India, but the English medium students they try to reinforce their English skills and try to, you know, possibly leave India and go to America so they can get a solid foundation in English to get a job abroad. So that's what a lot of people... So we both went to English medium schools because there really is no point in learning Gujarati. Like, I didn't plan on living in India for my career. That would be... Yeah, I didn't plan on that. But, you know, who knows? That might happen one day since we're trying to do those projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's talk more about, you know, kind of the things that we're doing in India or we're trying to do this summer.
Yeah. So we're trying to use science fair as our stepping stone into basically getting more experience and learning about how the Indian education system works a little bit more. And then we're planning on eventually making a school in India. So initially, we're going to start out by contacting a lot of different schools in Gujarat, specifically in the city of Vidyanagar. And this Vidyanagar is basically a college town where there are a lot of different high schools. In India, they call them secondary schools and colleges. So this is like a hub of education in India with a lot of bright students that we can definitely talk to and give them the ability to basically use a scientific method and perform a science experiment, just like we do, like we had the opportunity to do here in America. We want to bring that to India and basically help people move away from that system of just rote memorization and being tested on how much they can cram. And we want to help basically analyze people on their ability to solve problems and on their ability to execute, because execution is very, very important. And in science fair, you're really testing something. You're obtaining data. You're quantifying everything. It's really a huge process. And if you actually perform the whole thing from start to finish, you really show your capability in terms of how intelligent you are, really. So we want to give these students to display that, and we want to give these people a chance to use creative problem-solving techniques to solve potential issues that are affecting them in their villages and in their everyday life. So I was inspired by actually an experience like that my dad had. He helped fund a school in India, and they invited him to go judge a science fair over there. And he was so inspired because when he went there, he saw that people who were facing issues of electricity and basically social issues, they were creating these hypotheses that would allow them to test different scenarios that could possibly solve the problems that they're experiencing in their everyday lives. And that's the first time they had the opportunity to do that. Obviously, memorizing facts doesn't give you a chance to really test out what you know. So we're trying to bring science fair to people in different schools. And we're going to basically rent out a place in Ahmedabad or Vidyanagar, which Ahmedabad is another city in Gujarat, by the way. And we're going to try to give these students a chance to create a try board and basically post their problem, hypothesis, methods, materials, experiment, put all the graphs on a paper using construction paper. We're going to try to raise money to help these people create the same science fairs that we had in America. And from start to finish, we want to give them experience to basically to have a science fair. And we're going to take the winners.
Why science fair exactly?
Well, science fair specifically because it's going to help them with their creative thinking skills. Like, they're going to have to find a problem that affects them. And they're going to have to try to find a solution that might not even exist, but they're going to have to try to use the resources and make the most of what they're given. And that's something that people have to do in the real world. So it's going to give them experience in how they can better their community. Because science fair, it's not specifically we're trying to create scientifically smart or mathematically apt people. We're just trying to create problem solvers. And science is one of the best venues and best opportunities to help people think in a different way. So science fair is an amazing opportunity to let these students think in a different way.
And I think it's me and Vinay are specifically why we're so into this whole science fair idea is that we were so personally affected by this. I remember since I moved to my county in Gwinnett back in second grade, is that we did science fair every single year, all the way through high school, and that has been the one thing that we could go out of the box, think outside the box, right?
Definitely.
That we could research things that we wanted to do, right? Learn things that we wanted to learn, and outside the classroom or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So that gave us that one chance to do things differently. And just like in schools in India and how we're taught, America is different and it's better, but it's not exactly, enhancing everyone's creativity. It's not enhancing people's problem-solving skills.
Yeah.
A lot of what we do in America is still, memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the end of the day, all schools currently are that's their baseline, right?
There is no school in America that focuses entirely on problem-based learning, and it doesn't.
Well, no public school anyway.
Yeah, no public school. Yeah, that's true.
So I think science fair was a liberating thing, right? That I did it, and you did it as well every single year, all through high school. That it was our one chance to do it. So,
It was great just because of the fact that not only did it give you scientific knowledge. And I was really passionate about science. My brother was. We all competed at the national level. We got invited. We were flown out to cities like San Diego, Pittsburgh, just to present our research. And I had a really awesome opportunity to go research at the Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta. So I was hooked up with a lab research mentor. And I would research topics. They'd basically, at the beginning of a program, a summer research program, they'd tell me, you can research on anything that you want to hear. Anything that interests you, we have a person that can that's an expert on that. So whether it's cancer research, cardiovascular disease, anything, I mean, obviously it has to be related to the scientific field because it's a laboratory, but anything within the realm of science, which is a very broad subject, as we all know, you can do. So I personally, the years that I were there, I always focused on, the years I was in the program, I always focused on issues that pertain to me or my family. So for the first year, I worked on prostate cancer, and I did research on prostate cancer and how allium vegetables, which are things like garlic, scallions, or scallops, and different like vegetables, how can they reduce the amount of cancer cells specifically in your prostate? So the reason I did that was because my dad's friend, a very close family friend of ours, he was affected by prostate cancer that year. And that issue really, it really bothered me because I had no idea how I could help him. And I had no idea like how I could save this guy's life or how I could basically impact it in a positive way. So this science fair allowed me to show my true capability in determining like research and creative solutions towards helping him, you know, ease like the amount of cancerous cells in his body. Basically, I helped cure his cancer in the sense that I prescribed him a better diet, one that included allium vegetables and things like that. So it shows individual students that they have the power to change people's lives. And it doesn't matter how they do it or what type of topic they choose.
Yeah.
The fact that at the end of the science fair project, they're going to understand that they can really make an impact, that's something that we want to bring to India. Because a lot of students in India, they don't dream big. Like if you ask them what they want to be, it's doctor, engineer, doctor, engineer,
yeah,
doctor, engineer. You're going to hear the same thing over and over again. But why is that? And if you ask them why, a lot of students will just answer, it is my father's dream. Like that's what I want. Like, I want to fulfill my father's wishes. That's what they say. But, you know, it's really up to you, like, what you want to do. So we want to liberate people in terms of giving them the opportunity to create creative ideas and test them out. We think science fair is the best way to do that.
Yeah, that's definitely the best platform, you know. Probably ahead of entrepreneurship and engineering and all that combined together.
Yeah.
That's something that we really want to bring to India, is that opportunity for them to dream big, you know, put their problem-solving skills, their creativity skills together and create something better. And put India on the track and to be a great country in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yes, and Science Fair is a great way to step into that. So let's talk something about, you know, our current projects that we're doing in Vidyanagar. How we're gonna, you know, set up the hotel rooms, and how we're exactly gonna execute on that.
Well, I'm thinking about renting out a hotel space in Vidyanagar, and it's not that expensive. I think it should cost for a couple hours. It should cost about $300 and $300 US. So it's gonna be considerably more in rupees. But it's since we're gonna be doing mainly our fundraising over here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about doing this is that we get to raise money here, and then take that to India where everything is considerably cheaper.
Inflated, yeah. So it's really good. We get the chance to, you know, make it's not even that hard to fundraise over here. I mean, $300 really goes a long way in India. So we're gonna rent out a space in Ahmedabad. We're gonna have different science fairs, ideally in 10 different schools in Gujarat. And we're going to go to each one, set up a science fair over there, and we're going to take three best students with the best science fairs, or the three best projects, because obviously a project can have one to two people like assigned to it. The three best projects from each school will advance onto the science fair that we hold in that hotel room that we rent in Vidyanagar. So at that hotel room, we're going to set up tables. People are going to put their tri boards up. You know, the ones with the construction paper and the printer paper that shows their hypotheses, their conclusions, abstracts, charts, all those things, and possibly even a little live demonstration of the project. We're going to try to put that on a presentation, like a platform, so people can basically try to communicate their research to us. And that's another important thing. This is the communication of your research. So we're actually going to spend a whole week on just training these guys. Just to how to communicate. So can you talk about
that? Yeah, so I mean along the way we're actually gonna teach them. So if this turns out to be a 3-month project for us, right? For each school, we're actually going to, along the way, teach them the scientific method, mm-hmm. right? Teach them exactly how to do the science fair, right? So for everything from the beginning, where it's the idea phase, where, you know, you take a good moment and you think about the world around you and you see how you can make a difference, or you see how you can solve a problem, or see how you can build something that you would want to use. From that phase on, towards you setting up your materials, you know, making your experiment, putting a conclusion, and something that I stress that's very important is the public speaking part of this. Mm-hmm. Because it's very important that not only do you have the right ideas, but for you to be able to express those ideas freely. Of course. For me, that was a hard thing, because I was a very shy kid when I first started doing this. So there was no way I was going to stand in front of a group of people and talk about something that I barely knew about. And that was very complicated.
Yeah.
So along the way, we're going to set up these presentations in the school. Me and Vinay and, you know, other people that are going to be working with us, we've been through this, right? We've done this for many, many years. We have many, you know, we have a lot of experience in this. So we're going to teach them what we've learned, mm-hmm. and that's going to help them along the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, since we have a really big advantage here is because, like, we've been... Like, science fair is basically all I did in high school. Like, that's...
that's all I cared about.
Yeah, like, me... Yeah, it was really important to me. And, I don't know, a lot of people knew me as, like, the kid who did science fair. And we, like, went really far nationally and things like that. And I was supposed to be really good at it. And I just loved it. Just giving presentations, enabling my speaking and communication skills to judges, presenting in front of hundreds of people. You know, you think you'd be nervous. But I was, like, really excited. And I know a lot of people... next to me were really excited just because they could, you know, really, like, demonstrate to the world that their brainchild, their invention was, like, worth it, and it really deserved their attention. And getting feedback from amazing scientists and professors, it was one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had. I actually presented my research here at UGA several times, and I got amazing feedback and questions from scientists. Very reputable people in the field that I aspired to possibly even work in one day. And that was such a great experience because it helped me realize that even the scientific community thinks, like, you know, I'm a credible person and that the research that I did means something and that it has the ability to make an impact. So, you know, it bettered my speaking skills. It gave me, it increased confidence, as Alok said. And it's really just an experience that I think it's something that India needs right now. And it's something mm-hmm. that India needs to transform to that next step in bettering its education system, transitioning from rote learning into problem-based learning. And, you know, that's really what we're looking to do in India, basically transform it, change it into something different from the system of recovery from British imperialism for several hundred years. It's a recovering nation, and it really needs our help. So, you know, we're trying to fundraise right now. We're trying to get funds together to make this science fair possible. And we're going to help a lot of kids, you know, go through that same journey that we did, helping them find their purpose in terms of creative thinking and thinking outside the box. That's really what we want to inspire. So,
mm-hmm. Pretty sure that's a good place to wrap up. Hopefully we can make this happen in the summer.
Yeah. It's going to be a great project to work on. Really fun.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time.
You too.